I'm a bulldog. So Georgia, who won't pick it? I love the family atmosphere, the way they handle business, education. What's up, everybody? It is Dog Nation Before the Hedges time. I am not going freestyle the whole show like my good friend Cortez. Cortez James. But anyway, that's my theme music. We've got another Before the Hedges brought to you by Kroger. And, you know, we had a little difficulty. We had one part of the show that we wanted to try to get just right. We weren't able to do so, so we had to kind of audible and scurry. But that's okay. That just means more content for the folks on the pages of DogNation.com. How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing on a Wednesday night here in Dog Nation? How fired up is everybody to see spring practice starting? You had the first day of spring practice yesterday. You had big visitors yesterday. You're going to have big visitors tomorrow, big visitors over the weekend. That's kind of the theme of tonight's show, kind of highlighting big visitors. Kind of a preview we had on DogNation.com earlier today. Travis Smith Jr., you guys know the name. He visited Georgia last night. First face-to-face with Coley, first Georgia practice. Somebody wanted to say he is arguably the top one or two wide receiver target on the board for Georgia in 2025. I would not disagree with him, and it was a great visit. He told me coming out of that visit, it was hard for him to leave. I think the Smith family, stayed around Athens till about 10 o'clock, which is a very good sign. And then he told me in no uncertain terms that nobody in the country wants me more than Georgia. That's the way he was feeling. That was his takeaway from that visit. So that's kind of sets the ball on the tee a little bit for what spring practice and visits are going to be like. We're going to cover those big visits coming up in the next two spring practice days. So that's going to be Thursday, the day off, and then Saturday. And then we've also got an interesting show. We've got some rare Kirby Smart sound on our show, but we found a topic that we thought, you know, why don't we listen to CKS about a pretty important topic having to do with recruiting and the way the University of Georgia goes about its business. We've got a Dog Nation conversation this evening with one of the top targets in the class. We haven't brought you his story yet. We're going to tonight on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. That's going to be New Jersey Edge, Darren Ekigbon, Nigerian native, only been playing football for a few years, was once a basketball player, and he decided, you know, let me take this big frame and let's start playing some football, start knocking heads. That's really cool. We're going to preview another big visit that's coming up, kind of a takeout visit from Eugene Hilton Jr. He's another visitor tomorrow in Athens, another big first visitor as well. And we're also going to talk about the Commit to the G Challenge. If you guys have read it on DogNation.com, you know what I'm talking about. But that is the way we kind of tee up. That's the kind of way we stack up like cordwood, the Dog Nation Before the Hedges program. Our big five tonight. Let's start it off right now with a big-time visit preview here on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. It is tis the season. I'm a guy that kind of thinks that, you know, recruiting now, the life's blood of a program, it really takes place between mid-March when spring practice starts up and the end of June. That's the official visit season. Everybody kind of makes their decisions in June. They commit in July, or they make their decision in July. They commit in July. So everything right now, the seeds are being sown right now for good things in Athens. Crazy to think about. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to say something right now that's going to make my producer, Kaylee Mansell, scream in the control room. She's going to be like, erroneous, mind-boggling. But right now, I guess I got to say this in some somber tones. The Georgia Bulldogs, for the first time in a long time, are number 10 in the nation in recruiting for 2025. Somebody's going to give me that, like, Chris Tucker, like, that, like, pose right there, like, what are you talking about, Jeff? Well, that's true. Georgia currently has, on the 24/7 sports composite rankings, Georgia currently has the number 10 recruiting class in the country. On three, the industry ranking, another kind of industry leader now, I would say, in recruiting. They do it a little bit differently. They go by the quality of the recruit, not so much the quantity of the recruit. Again, let me make sure I get that right. I'm going to stick the landing this time. The Romanian judge will agree.
that the On3 industry ranking has Georgia number 3. They go by the quality of the recruit, whereas the tried and true 24/7 sports team composite ranking scale, they go by quantity of the recruit. That's a big factor right now. And with Georgia with only 5 commitments so far in this cycle at this time, that's why they're number 10 right now on the 24/7 sports team composite. Well, that's a point. Here's a counterpoint. How do the Dogs go about changing that? Well, they're going to start bringing in their top targets this week. We already told you a mini micro story update there about Travis Smith Jr. Let's take a look at who's going to be visiting tomorrow. Very big upcoming visit right now. You got Julian Juju Lewis. Do most people call him Juju or do they call him Julian? Weigh in right there in the comments section whether you believe, you know, you call the young man Juju, call him Jew. I know his family, his father calls him Jew a lot. The 2025 reclassified 5-star quarterback from Carrollton High School is visiting tomorrow. Probably might stay in town for an overnight at the very least. 4-star wide receiver C.J. Wiley out of Milton. I saw him this past weekend with the Cam Newton team that won the 7-on-7 pylon Atlanta. Man, that young man is playing great right now out of Milton High School. He looks like he's got all the confidence in the world. He had his quarterback, Luke Dimes is what they call him, Luke Nickel, the Miami commitment, was throwing to him. He had 14 touchdown passes a year ago. I really think that he can go 14 touchdown catches a year ago. I really think he can even clear that in his senior year. Dogs got some work to do there. I think the Georgia's chance was better because there was a long-term relationship there with BMAC, with Brian McClendon, and now that's James Coley's charge to kind of rebuild that bridge. Coley's done a great job so far with Travis Smith, to say the least. Another big man right now, former Buford Wolf moved back to his home state of Iowa, was committed to Iowa for a time, then he decommitted. Nikolai Brooks, 6'7", 345-ish. I think he's one of, I believe I got this right, at least double-digit siblings. I want to say he has 14 other siblings. Let me just say double-digit siblings, but got a lot of siblings, got a lot of folks in the Brooks family looking up to Big Nikolai, and that's another huge visit for Georgia as they try to figure out the type of, you know, Searles' class for the 2025. You know, there's a lot of names out there. Is it Josh Petty? Is it David Sanders? Who's going to be on the offensive line for Georgia in 2025? Is it Mason Short? We'll take a look at that later on in a future program. Also, Eugene Hilton, we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show as one of our big five. He's visiting tomorrow as well. That will be his first visit to Georgia. Another athlete here out of Hebron Christian, 3-star athlete Garrett Kemp. That's out of the metro Atlanta area. Another Rodney Uno Colton out of Noonan. Currently rated, I believe, a top 5 linebacker in the country for his class on the On3 industry ranking. And then you turn the page to Saturday. And Saturday, it's a mammoth visit, guys. David Sanders Jr. just visited Clemson. He had great things to say about former Georgia offensive line coach Matt Luke. As he got to see his coaching style, he got to visit Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson Tigers again. So this will be a Georgia's going to have to try to match or maybe exceed or kind of point counterpoint to try and really give David Sanders and his family a very strong impression on the heels of a Clemson visit as well. Some might say very accurately that the decision could very well come down to Tennessee, Clemson, and Georgia there for David Sanders, even though he has a top 6 that includes Alabama and Ohio State and South Carolina. March 16th, also Ryan Montgomery. Ryan Montgomery is really close with Florida, South Carolina. Georgia's a school that's also in there as well. He's going to visit Georgia this weekend as well. He's also going to check out later this month Florida, and then South Carolina will get his last visit, and then he will make his college decision after that. So right there, you got a big list of visitors. That's just on the next 2 days, that plenty more visitors. We kind of just took, I would say, the headliner visits are kind of the ones that make the most sense for there coming out there. But you got some great visitors right there in the class of 2025, 2026. So interesting things there. A lot of 5-star visitors that are on their way to check out UGA. Going to be Interesting to see what happens, what takes place, talking to these young men after what happens going forward and everything else like that. So, guys, we are going to now talk about number two on our big five here on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. Let's talk about an earlier signing day. Kirby Smart had his spring practice opening presser the other day where basically took a lot of questions from the beat writer corps. One of the questions that came up was the speculation. We've been talking about it here on Before the Hedges. It was, how does the leader of the Georgia football program, how does he feel about early signing day, earlier signing day? They just made the move. If you guys haven't been paying attention during the offseason or maybe missed last week's show, they just made the move from them to have signing day, early signing day in the middle of December. Now they moved it into the week before the conference championship games. That's the week after the regular season. That's when a lot of high school teams are going to be playing in the state football playoffs. I know that's something that comes to everybody's mind, but what is Kirby Smart? What do the Georgia Bulldogs think about an earlier signing day? I want you to see this right now here on Before the Hedges.
As far as the midsummer possible signing date, look, there's positives and negatives to everything, so we can sit here and debate it. Y'all guys put them all over the internet and things. There's high school coaches that say, well, they won't play their senior year. Well, you know, if a kid doesn't play a senior year because he signed, I don't really want him on my team. I just, you know, if he's going to opt out for a senior year, then will he do the same to me? So I don't really know if that's a viable option. A lot of high school coaches think, well, at least I'll get my kids signed, because high school coaches and players are losing opportunities ad nauseum by signing in December and not having spaces because of the portal. So, you know, I don't like the idea of someone signing before their senior year, because I think the senior year matters. I think in the state of Georgia and the Southeastern Conference footprint, the high school season of your senior year still matters. I want to watch a kid play. I mean, you know, any NFL teams that want guys to skip their fourth year and not evaluate them, or skip their third year that they'll be draft eligible and not evaluate them. I prefer to have them play and grow, and I think it's good for the game. So I'm kind of indifferent, and if that goes that way, then we'll adjust to it and do the best we can with it.
There you go, guys. If you were playing your Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger, bingo game, you had Kirby Smart on. We gave you the free space in the middle. We had Kirby Smart saying ad nauseum, and you heard him make a recruiting reference to the NFL. They almost got your whole column filled out right there. So let's kind of break down what Kirby said here. I liked what he said. That was Kirby sounding very smart about evaluation. We've seen time and time again how the University of Georgia loves to take a look at that senior year and add dudes, guys that got a lot better. You know, some perfect example, a guy like Chris Cole, this time a year ago, he was throwing on some weight, going from safety to linebacker. He'd never been a full kind of time linebacker, and Georgia needed to see what he'd look like at linebacker. Well, Chris Cole looked fantastic at linebacker. He became a five-star recruit, had a very heralded senior year. You can go on down the list, guys like Jamal Merriweather, who ended up going from a Central Florida commitment to a Georgia Bulldog in the 2023 signing class. You can go Ladd McConkey. You can go Jordan Davis. The hits keep on coming where Georgia finds guys in the senior year that they love, and they become terrific players in Athens. And that's why he made that comparison. He's like, hey, I want to see that extra year. They want to make sure that he sees the senior year of development. He doesn't like the fact that players sign before the senior year. And probably the headline thing he said there was, he's like, it's kind of funny, just kind of Kirby being Kirby, was like, the University of Georgia does not want any football player on campus in the program that would opt out of their senior year. Because he's like, you know, Kirby makes a good point, is it's like, hold on a second. If they're opting out their senior year with players and coaches they grew up around, you know, this would be guys that they were in the Kool-Aid line in sixth grade at field day together, or they saw each other with braces and they decided, nah, I'm good. I don't need to play my senior year. Kirby made the point there where it's like, hey, if they're going to opt out of that, they're probably going to opt out of me, opt out of Georgia when the time comes right for them as well. And that's one of those warning signs, yellow light, caution light, wherever, where Kirby's like, hey, man, if they don't want to play football, if they don't want to play their senior year football, then that's probably not the type of player that the University of Georgia is looking for. So really good stuff there from Kirby on the early signing day. He talked about basically he's indifferent about whether it needs to happen earlier. He made the good point there about he'd rather see the players play and not sign before their senior year. But then he also said, hey, whatever they decide to do, we will adjust and adapt to it. Really good stuff there from Kirby Smart on the kind of the theater, the kind of the drama, kind of the rolling debate right now about what's going on with the early signing day and do we actually need an earlier signing period. I thought that was really good stuff there. Speaking of recruiting, you had Kirby Smart talking about recruiting. Now let's talk about, let me see. I wrote this story this week on Dog Nation, guys, and I said somewhere Richard LeCount III has to be smiling. You guys know who Richie is, right? Little Easy. You guys know that the guy that coined the phrase, we ain't done yet when it comes to University of Georgia football recruiting. The first five-star way back when in December of 2016 who committed to Kirby Smart's Georgia basically December 2015, who committed to Kirby Smart's Georgia basically a week after Kirby got the job, almost instantaneous, really. But he was a guy that was always the chief recruiter. I can remember great stories with Richard LeCount, how even when he was on campus, he stood in front of a group of young men. Kyrus Jackson was in the room. James Cook was in the room. Zamir White was in the room. Justin Fields was in the room. Jamari Salyer was in the room. And these guys were all 2018 recruits. And Richard himself was a 2017 signee. And he's like, guys, if all you guys come to Georgia, we're going to win the national championship. And Richard LeCount, the prophet, was right there. So that it's in that spirit that I bring this story to you today here on Before the Hedges. And that's the commit to the G Challenge. I've been on the Georgia beat quite some time, more than a minute, the cool kids would say right now these days. But I've never heard, covered, seen, heard innuendo, the backdoor chatter. I've never seen two commitments decide, hey, let's have a race. Let's see how many guys each of us can get committed to the G. That's Ethan Barbour and Bo Walker. Curiously, those were the last two members of the they're kind of the young guys of the 2025 signing class. I believe Ethan committed in September of 2023, and then Bo Walker committed probably about 3 weeks later in mid-October. But they've decided to have a race to see who can get more guys to commit to Georgia. Let's take a look at this right here. Here's a good soundbite. Here's a good clip from Travis Smith talking about what these guys are up to in the class of 2025. Oh, wow. Wow. Looks like we've got had more of that clip. But basically, it's a clip from Travis Smith Jr. talking about these guys. They're A-plus recruiters. What he sees going on right now is he's like, hey, I make a post on social media about a school, and then he's got Bo texting him and DMing him like, hey, man, Remember Georgia. He's on the same 7-on-7 team with the California Power 7-on-7 team with Ethan Barbour. And he's like, every time he sees him for these weeks on 7-on-7, he's got Ethan in his ear talking about, come to Georgia. Ethan told me he's got a grocery list or a shopping list. He said he could probably get to 8 to 10, maybe 12 commitments in the class that he could say, that's a guy that was brought to Dog Nation by Ethan Barbour as kind of the chief recruiter from the staff, the chief commitment recruiter for the staff. He's like got a couple quarterbacks in mind. He's got a couple receivers in mind. He's got a defensive lineman. He's got a linebacker or two. He's got an offensive lineman or two. So Ethan Barbour is coming prepared to try and win the commit to the G challenge. But then you've got a guy like Bo Walker, who played with a guy like Juan Gaston, who talks to Travis Smith Jr. as well. I think, obviously, Barbour is former high school teammate. his former middle school teammate, C.J. Wiley. We mentioned him earlier. He's at Milton High School, and now Ethan Barbour has actually moved from Alpharetta to Milton High School. Can you imagine that offense adding the top tight end in the state and Ethan Barbour to already what they have with C.J. Wiley and Luke Nickel and a lot of weapons and a lot of firepower right there? But that's what you have there with that's what you have there going on with the commit to the G Challenge. I wanted to bring it to you guys because that, my friends, was different. Never heard of that before. I think it's especially cool to talk about in March as these guys are already trying to kind of be like political candidates and try to get certain dog targets to come to the Barbour party or to come to the Bo Walker party. So I think that's a really cool story to kind of track. And maybe with the help of our graphics genius, Miss Mansell, maybe we can come together with like a scoreboard when all the commitments happen. We'll try to update that on Before the Hedges. We'll put Barbour with some dogs. We'll put like, and then we'll put Bo Walker with some dogs there as well. It was kind of funny. I asked Ethan, I said, well, I got questions. I was like, how am I going to be able to keep score with all this? And he's like, oh, you'll know. They'll know. You'll know. You'll ask him and they'll say, hey, which one of us was key? Which one of us was instrumental in getting those guys to choose Georgia? So that's a neat little story. Haven't ever seen that before. Will be fun to cover it during this recruiting class as well. And you want to talk about how that number 10 ranking goes back to number one, where it's going to wind up in the eventuality? Well, that's the way you do it. You have committed recruits kind of competing. That's what Georgia does. Georgia's signs and recruits and targets these alpha level competitors, and look what they're doing. They're kind of competing to make sure that they win national championships while they're together in Athens. Next up on our Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger, number four here on our Big Four, let's talk about Eugene Hilton Jr. I think it's very interesting what we got going on here right now. He's a three-star out of Zionsville, Indiana. First of all, Eugene told me there's literally nothing to do in Zionsville, Indiana. What he's doing tomorrow is he is going to visit the University of Georgia. And this is interesting because it's kind of multifolded right here. Eugene had a terrific junior year, got so much better on the sophomore film to the junior film. Kind of realized it's time to go. He's got a lot of people depending on him, he said. And here's the kicker to this story. Eugene Hilton Jr., his dad is former NFL wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. Raise your hand or say, aye, Jeff, in the comment section if you ever had T.Y. Hilton on your fantasy team and he helped you win a ball game or he helped you win a playoff game or he helped you win a league title. T.Y. Hilton is out. Used to play for the Colts. He has got an interesting connection to James Coley. James Coley recruited him when he was coming up, and that was when he was in assistant coach in Florida. That connection has been established, and now it's a generational connection. There's a trust there with Coley, and really since Coley was hired in Athens, he's kind of identified Eugene Hilton Jr. as a guy he wants in the class. He has Georgia in his top seven. Georgia, you know, it was really an amazing thing that Georgia kind of came into the picture when Coley started recruiting him to the Dogs. And I've been told, he even told me that the commitment is coming soon. Let's see what happens coming out of that visit on tomorrow, because he needs to check out Georgia, see what it's like. But Georgia, it's in there with schools like Miami, schools like Ole Miss. Georgia's going to try and take a chance here and see if it can have what it takes to reel in a talented NFL legacy like Eugene Hilton Jr. 6'2", 195. He can win on the outside at X. He can win on the inside. I think I saw some analytics with Eugene Hilton Jr. Over the last couple of months where he was at 21 miles an hour on some of his film. He's a kickoff returner. And really, he's a guy that told me he wants to get his recruiting done because he is at a high school team where there's a lot of turnover. There's not a lot of seniors, so he needs to be a really strong leader, a really strong voice in the ear of a lot of his younger teammates, and that's why he wants to get his recruiting put to bed, so to speak, for Georgia in the class of 2025. I'd say he definitely is on the board for the Dogs. I think he's a guy that we need to pay attention to what he has to say coming out of his visit. But this is a guy, very charismatic, knows what it takes, big-time playmaker. And he loves the post route. Of course, everyone loves a post route. But when you got that NFL legacy with your dad, a former NFL multi-year standout, telling you this is how you run your routes, this is how you do this, this is how you pick up the nuances and tendencies of a defensive back, and this is how you make a bunch of plays. Well, that guy right there is now a major target for Georgia at wide receiver in the 2025 class. And we'll be watching Eugene Hilton Jr. as well. That, my friends, is a name that is going to be on the top targets list when we check it out a little bit later on in the show. Guys, again, this is a live show. You guys got any question, you guys got anything you want to learn about, talk about, whatever, we can go through that here. Just drop your questions in the comments section below. Eugene Hilton Jr., like his film. I encourage folks, we're going to have a story up on DogNation.com in the morning, kind of previewing the Eugene Hilton Jr. visit. It's going to have his highlight tape in there. And really, big thing for me is he found another gear to his game going from his sophomore film to his junior film. He was very productive. I think he's rated as a three-star receiver right now. But it's one of those guys, if you ask me, Georgia's found a guy with a lot of skills, a lot of ability, a lot of competitive drive, where those rankings aren't going to matter once he starts making himself known on the college level, because I do think he's got very good ability and a chance to really shine, even in the toughest conference in the country, in the SEC or in the ACC or wherever he's coming, wherever he would eventually decide to be. Guys, that is number four. Let's go to number five. This is a full-blown, legitimate Dog Nation conversation. We always like to do that on our show. We kind of like to end with a bang here on our Big Five, and let's talk about a young man out of New Jersey. Darren Ekigbon, Nigerian native. If Georgia could close on him, that would be another Nigerian for its defensive front, potentially. An edge target. What is he like about Georgia? Which schools is he planning to visit soon? When is he going to go to visit Georgia again? Which schools currently have an official visit scheduled? Well, hey, pop open a cold one. It's Wednesday night before the Hedges here, brought to you by Kroger. Those answers are coming to you right now.
What's your last name, man? How do you pronounce your last name? Is it Ekinabong, or did I get that wrong? Throw a flag on you.
Ekinabong, Darren Ekinabong.
Nigerian, correct?
Yes.
How long have you lived in the States?
My whole life.
Were your parents born in the States, or did they move here?
No, they moved here.
So, but you've been in here your whole life. Got it.
Yeah.
Darren, what would you say you're looking for with your college decision, man? Is there something important, or a few important things that got to be checked off there?
A place that feels like home, has a home environment, where I could have a household name, I could just do great things at, in the place that could develop me most and bring the best out of me.
Mm. Can you enroll early out of your school in Hillside, or do you have to go your whole senior year?
No, I can enroll early.
Is that what you're working to do?
Yeah.
March, the visits open up back up, man. You got any visits planned yet?
Yeah, I'm going down to, I'm going to Penn State this week.
Mm-hmm.
The last week of the month, I'm going down to the Notre Dame, and then first week of April, I'm going to Ohio State, and then second week I'm going to Georgia.
Are you going for the spring game? Is that when you're going?
Yeah, I'm going for the spring game.
Wow, what was it like? I think I read some stories where like you came in, I guess in January through Georgia. And like, what was that visit like? What do you remember about it?
Well, it was just crazy. Everything was just nice. They made me feel like I was a top priority because they was telling me I was the number one guy on the board. It just made me feel good to be wanted somewhere. Be wanted at that high, like one of the best programs in the country. So it was just different.
How is Georgia different?
This is like. Everything about it is just they just want to win. They're going to do anything what it takes to win. And
Darren, have you set any officials yet?
Yeah, I have an official May 31st to the 2nd to Georgia.
Mm. What do you think it is you like best about Georgia? Is it Uzo Deribe, the Nigerian connection? Like, what do you like the best about Georgia?
The connection I built with Coach Deribe.
Darren, have you got any other official visits set yet or anything like that?
No, not right now.
So Georgia's the only one?
I'm gonna base my official visits off the spring visits I'm gonna take.
Sure.
These next couple of weeks.
Do you have any idea, like, when you'd like to make your decision? Some guys want to do it before their senior year. What feels right there for you?
I'm gonna do it in June.
Let me see, Darren. When you think about, have you just been to Georgia one time, or have you been there a couple times?
No, I've only been there once.
What was your first impression? Like, what was the first thing you saw that really impressed you?
I seen the weight room, the indoor fields, the outdoor fields. Just how impressed me. Probably the attention to detail they have to everything for everything.
Look at there. Attention to detail right there. So very interesting. The big defensive end, 6'6", 250 out of Hillside, New Jersey. Darren Akigamon. And lots of things to pull out of that interview. I don't know if you guys were listening. One official visit currently scheduled. That's to Georgia. He's going to be at Georgia for G-Day. Also, he's going to take a series of unofficial visits over the next few weeks. Penn State is one of those. He will come through, and he's going to let the other unofficial visits he checks out. I believe you mentioned a couple of schools there along with Penn State. Notre Dame was one of them as well. But he's going to see how those unofficials go, and then he's going to schedule other official visits around the Georgia official visit. There's already a gargantuan first huge official visit landing weekend for the Dogs. Traditionally, it's always the first weekend in June. That's been that way for the last couple of cycles. Well, now it's the last weekend in May because you got some overlap. Currently, I guess it will be considered the first weekend in June, but May 31st to June 2nd, that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type visit there for those recruits. And a lot of big names are already scheduled to show up and be there. Darren Akigamon, you've got Juan Gaston Jr., Travis Smith Jr. I bet C.J. Wiley shows up. Other luminaries, other names you're going to look to see to Georgia to stack a lot of big targets, a lot of alpha 1A targets in that class as well for that first official visit weekend. You got some other guys coming on different weekends. I believe Cortez Smith is coming the third weekend in June. That's also a weekend that Zion Grady's checking out. There's going to be a big Isaiah Gibson official visit as well. David Sanders Jr. will give Georgia an official visit. I'd look for that to be in the month of June as well. I believe David has only set one official visit publicly right now, and that's to South Carolina in late May, I believe, or early May, I believe, to check out South Carolina. So it's almost that time when all the big official visit weekends start coming together, and you see the fact that Georgia has already gotten a big target in the young man from New Jersey kind of position for that prime weekend as well. Right now, Georgia is his only official visit as well. So that first visit worked out well. And, you know, Georgia, kind of the genesis of how they got in on Darren. Darren even kind of said that, hey, they tell me I'm number one at the top of their board. Of course, that's sometimes we've heard other recruits feel that way. And maybe if three recruits are at the top of the board and they take all three, then that's some honesty in recruiting. But sometimes that's what happens all the time. But he feels like a priority. He took one visit. He was blown away by Georgia. He mentioned attention to detail. So that is definitely something to monitor here with the class of 2025. I've been wanting to write about him and bring you guys a little taste of his story. You guys will get the full entree on dognation.com soon, but wanted to get, like I try to do a lot of times as this Before the Hedges program evolves, we try to give you a lot of information, a lot of voice, a lot of stories, man, even before they go up on the main website. So we're trying to take care of trying to feed two hungry audiences right here with Before the Hedges. You know, talk about feeding hungry folks. I got to come to you guys on this. I got to come to another camera on this one. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story. And this is about when Jeff went Krogering. I'm at the point where sometimes you get a craving, right? So currently I've got a craving. I'm going to do something. This will probably knock my lovely wife, my bride, probably knock her dead when she hears about this or learns about this. But I've got a craving. I'm going to go to my local Kroger, and I'm going to get something that I've had referred to me as a watermelon salad. Now, this is a Before the Hedges first. Jeff is not going to speak long about recipes because my recipe intel is pretty short, pretty shy. But there's a watermelon salad with some cucumbers, some vinegar, some oil, some shallots, and some basil, and then you put it in the refrigerator, let it chill a little bit. But that, to me, sounds like an amazing spring, summer salad. It was like 70 degrees outside today. You kind of got that flirtation, that great Georgia spring and early spring weather is on the way. You got the dogs practicing football in Athens. And next time in Kroger, I'm going to call it a Centel spring salad, whatever you call it. But, if you guys didn't think that the bingo card had a recipe intel from Jeff Centel tonight, well, that was a mystery space right there. That's the type of fun that we like to have sometimes on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. Now let's do something as we kind of transition into our next phase of our show, the Big Five. Hey, that was a purely original off the cuff Kroger read, if I ever saw it right now. I'd love to see my buddy Brandon Adams come up with some recipe intel on his Dog Nation daily program. Could Mike do that? Could Kaylee and Connor do that on their Dog Nation offseason? They did the Oscars this week. Maybe they'll have a cooking show with Connor coming up. But our recipe time has passed. Let's talk about our question of the week this week. Our question of the week this week is brought to you each and every week by Kroger. Let's check out the question of the week. We do it each and every week. Question of the week, that's where I get you guys thinking. I get you guys being nice to each other and civil in the comments. We talked about the Commit to the G Challenge earlier in our show among our Big Five. Our question of the week this week is, who do you think will win the Commit to the G Challenge? Will it be the relentless, the tireless Bo Walker out of Cedar Grove High School? Or will it be Ethan Barbour, now of Milton High School, recently moved from Alpharetta High to Milton High School? Who do you think will win the Commit to the G Challenge? I think we might have some missing video that we missed earlier in our show. We might have some missing video about queued up, so you guys can hear a little bit more about the Commit to the G Challenge. Are you Team Barbour or are you Team Walker? Let me know what you think about in the comment section below here on Before the Hedges.
I hear Bo Walker and Ethan Barbour are having a contest to see who can recruit guys to the class. Are you feeling out of hearing from those guys at all about that?
With me seeing Ethan out here on these 707s on the week-to-week basis, man, it's crazy for him. And then Bo, every time I make a post about this school or that school, he's always getting in my ear telling me, you know, how I should be a dog. So those guys are definitely on their A game when it comes to recruiting.
There you go. There you have it. Before the Hedges, Big Five. We had a comeback to a piece earlier in our show. That was Travis Smith talking about the competition between Bo Walker, the competition between Ethan Barbour, to see which one of those two current commitments in the Georgia class can end up leading, Pied Pipering, recruiting, convincing, working to have those guys commit to the G. They're going to have a competition about it. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, time of our show for, you know, we do it each and every week. We call it the meat and potatoes of our show. We call it all those things that you guys need to know that quickly keeps everybody going on week to week with the Georgia football recruiting class. Let's take a look. I think this week is our fish and chips edition. Check it out right here. Georgia, you want to see the class breakdown. Still Bo Walker, still Ethan Barbour. Very interesting that the two of those guys are offensive commitments, and those guys are going to see who can get more guys to commit to the G. Elias Williams, very interesting here. The tight end commitment. And all of a sudden, let's kind of bring in a news story of the week. You guys were were at, listening to the press conference from Kirby Smart on Tuesday. Probably one of the most unfortunate things was the news that came out about Pierce Sperling III having to retire medically from football because of a heart condition. It's a condition he's had all his life, but it sounds like something where the margins kind of got a little too tenuous, where it made a lot of sense for Pierce to continue with his life rather than continue with his football career. He's a multi-generational Georgia family. I thought he had the classiest way to share his condition and his optimism for the rest of his life, and also his regrets for not being able to finish his time as a Dog. He said, matter-of-factly, that the best university in the world, the best team in the world, that's what he still gets to be a part of. It'd probably be Coach Sperling now, counting reps, helping guys out, being an integral part of the Georgia football team. But tight end also suddenly becomes a lot more interesting because we saw Oscar Delp today watching Georgia's pro day. He's likely to go pro with a strong season because he's got all the ability in the world, and pro scouts are going to see him run. They're going to see him his size, and they're going to see a full year of kind of being tight end one, tight end alpha for the Dogs, and I think he's going to be a draft candidate. And then Benjamin Urosek, he will exhaust his eligibility as well, the graduate transfer from Stanford. So Georgia is down two, will be down two tight ends off the 2024 team. Add in Pierce Sperling. That was one of their two signees in 2023. Georgia just added two really strong tight ends in Colton Heinrich and Jaden Riddell in 2024. But all of a sudden, do they go get another tight end in the 2025 class now? Do they bring in a portal tight end like they did with Benjamin Urosek? Looks like Todd Hartley, the man that always has a plan, now has to do some interesting work to try and make sure that he's got his tight end room number where it needs to be. With the Dogs, they like to run a lot of two tight end and three tight end sets at times. And then you saw last year how Georgia maybe needs to make sure it has that six scholarship tight end in his room, because when Brock Bowers was down and Lawson Lucky was down or just coming back, well, that really handicapped the room and everything else like that. So tight ends get very interesting. Elias Williams, Miami's coming with both guns about Elias Williams. So is Florida State. Elias was also recently named to his third straight All-State team in basketball at Camden County. He was at Charlton County before that, so he did it small school level and now the big boys school level there with Camden County. And very interesting to see. The Dogs are going to have to – one of the things Barb Boer told me, he's like, he's got to start talking to Williams and making sure that he keeps him committed to the G as well. And that would go a long way for him. That would probably be a notch in the on the scoreboard there for Team Barb Boer in the commit to the G challenge between himself and Bo Walker. So interesting there what's going on right now. You hear a lot of rumblings in the state of Florida as it is that Central Florida is now putting together an NIL collective package that probably puts it right up there with Florida and Miami and Florida State in terms of there might be four major Power Five football teams in the state of Florida now, at least when it comes to the NIL collective efforts and those things going forward. Very interesting news hearing about how Central Florida has stepped its game up as well. That's your class breakdown on offense. Let's check out the class breakdown on defense. I did go a little deep there on the tight end side of things because I wanted to talk about the tough news there. It kind of hit home, kind of even hit my heart a little bit about Pierce because he's such a good dude and that's such a great family. But Georgia currently has two commitments right now on the defensive side of the ball. Justice Terry going to take some visits, going to visit Alabama, just recently visited Florida State. Jaden Perlotti actually visited Georgia on Tuesday there with Travis Smith Jr. He was another key core commitment that was back in Athens on Tuesday as well for the first day of spring practice. And I know folks like to worry about Jaden Perlotti, but when Jaden is in Athens on the first day of spring practice, that's a pretty good indicator that things are still pretty strong with him and Georgia, or at least the connection is still there, very strong there with Jaden and Georgia. That's your class breakdown. Let's move on right now. Before we get to top targets time, let's take a look at our recruiting snapshot. And I tell you, we spoke about this earlier in our show. I think that feels very weird to see that huge number underneath class rank nationally. I wonder if Miss Miss Kaylee Mansell, when she was putting that snapshot together, she was scratching her head saying, this can't be right. Georgia number 10, but yes, Georgia currently is number 10 in the country in recruiting, 3 offense, 2 defense. All 5 of those guys are in-state. All 5 of those commitments are in the SEC footprint. There are currently 2 offensive players among those 5 commitments, and there are 2 offensive players among the 5 highest-rated commitments. We make it a point now on that snapshot page each and every week, that snapshot poster, to always stress the offensive side of the ball right now. That's because Georgia has recruited stupidly well on the defensive side of the ball, so we always like to make sure we track the fact that Georgia is matching that, or at least complementing that with all those dogs on the defensive side of the ball. Georgia currently has 2 top 50 commitments. They've got 2 5-stars. They've got 4 top 150 commitments, 3 top 100 commitments, and they have 4 top 200 commitments in this class at this time. That's your recruiting snapshot. Let's take a look at our top targets. And we're going to start right now with the top targets. Let's start now. A guy I got a chance to visit with this week at the Pylon 7-on-7. They now have a 7-on-7 that includes a 5-on-5. They rotate kind of like volleyball players where they're trying to get reps and get to the quarterback, and they rotate blocking teams and rushing teams together. But Zaire Addison is very interested in Georgia. He said he hears from Georgia each and every day. He doesn't have the dog scheduled for an official visit yet, but he says it's very hard for him not to overlook or not to give full attention to Georgia. That's a team that has, he feels, that's the best college football program in the country. He's out of the Tampa area, and he's a guy that went down to the Under Armour Orlando camp earlier this year, a couple weeks back, and he was the offensive line MVP out of that. Zion Grady, a young man out of Enterprise, Alabama, kind of very interested to see how Georgia recruits Zion going forward. Excuse me, how they recruit Zion going forward with his teammate Eric Winters as well. Winters, if you know, he's the talented linebacker. You'll see him on Just Off the List. Winters, basically, a lot of the information I'm getting is that Winters really likes Georgia, Auburn, and Miami. Number 13 on the top targets list, we went into detail about Eugene Hilton Jr. earlier in our show. Eugene's story was part of our Big 5. Dijon Lee out of Mission Viejo, California. He's a 4-star corner. Some sites have him as a 5-star corner. Very long, very fast, very talented. Number 11, you got C.J. Wiley. Mentioned him a couple times on our show, and we've reached the point where we're going to mention probably C.J. Wiley's name at least once or twice in every Before the Hedges for the foreseeable future. Wiley has visited Auburn this week, and he's also visited Alabama recently as well. Plans to be in Georgia tomorrow. Isaiah Gibson, talented edge out of Warner Robins High School. Georgia definitely is high on his list and in the picture there. You got the 2 quarterbacks, number 9 and number 8, Matt Zollers, playing basketball right now in the state of Pennsylvania. Their playoffs run a little bit later on the cycle, on the calendar, than the ones in the state of Georgia. Georgia just crowned their state champions last weekend. Well, mostly last weekend is when the first round of the Pennsylvania State Basketball Championships got underway. And Zollers, I'm going to tell you, I saw a little bit of clips of him in basketball. That guy can shoot. That guy was drilling daggers. He can see the floor really well. So you see a guy like Matt Zollers, looks like he's very capable in another sport, very accomplished athlete, and he can score. He can make things happen. He can defend. He can create on the basketball court as well. Number 8, Juju time, Julian Juju Lewis, currently committed to USC, going to take a bunch of unofficial visits this month, going to take some more official visits in the month of June out of Carrollton, Georgia. He has reclassified to the 2025 cycle, and he's going to be in Athens tomorrow. And every visit that Julian Juju Lewis takes to Georgia is big, because right now, I think if any school in the country has a chance to flip Julian Lewis, I think the best shot, the school with the best shot at doing that at this time would be the Georgia Bulldogs. That's the first half of the top early targets. Let's take a look at now at 1 through 7, and this is a loaded 1 through 7. We've moved Darren Akinkabon all the way up to number 7. I think he jumps up 4 or 5 slots from the previous week. Juan Gaston Jr., he was also in Athens yesterday with his teammate Travis Smith Jr. the Dogs continue to recruit Gaston heavy, and they continue to recruit Gaston well. He is an All-American offensive tackle, 6'7 plus, 340 plus. Number five, Cortez Smith, recently dropped his final, his visit list. Georgia has continued to recruit him like a priority for a very long time. Currently out of Parkview High School, Cortez Smith stands to be a four-year starter in Georgia's largest classification this fall. Number four, Travis Smith Jr. We talked about him at the top of our show. Travis Smith is currently getting double barrel attention in recruiting from both members of the Commit to the G Challenge between Bo Walker and Ethan Barbour. Number two, Elijah Griffin. Elijah's expected to visit Georgia this month as well for a spring practice visit. And then this weekend on Saturday, David Sanders Jr., Providence Day School, number one offensive tackle in the country, number two overall prospect this year out of Charlotte, North Carolina. David Sanders Jr. will be at Georgia. We'll be watching Georgia closely. We'll be shadowing Stacy Searles. And really for him, David's already told me that probably the most important visit for him with Georgia is seeing how Georgia practices, seeing how Coach Searles coaches, watching the feedback, watching how well his guys work for Stacy Searles, and he's going to do that imagination game where he's sitting there and say, I can do this. This is where I want to be. This is where I feel led to be. That's all those questions that he's going to go through his head. That's going to go through his head this weekend when he visits Georgia and checks out spring practice. Top early targets time, that one's in the book. Now let's take a look at who's just off the list. The JOTL portion of our Before the Hedges show. Anquan Fegans, Alabaster, Alabama. That's Thompson High School. Thomas Blackshear, another wide receiver out of Calvary Day in Savannah. Bryce West, just visited Clemson, going to visit Georgia later this month as well. Talented edge, top 100 overall prospect. He's visited Georgia before. Teammates, former high school teammate with Georgia, a sophomore defensive tackle. I guess he's technically a redshirt. Freshman defensive tackle Jamal Jarrett. Akeelan Deere out of Quitman, Mississippi, just off the list as well. Dante Fulton, Sylvester, Georgia. Christian Garrett out of Bogart. Christian Gass. I tell you, Deere's going to be really hard for Georgia to hold on to now, much like Alvin Henderson. That's just how good a recruiter that Del McGee was. It's going to be very hard for Josh Crawford to get back into the mix. But Crawford's got another guy up his sleeve we're going to see a little bit later on this just off the list. Ty Jackson spoke to Lagonza Hayward this week. Really interesting kid out of Toombs County. Folks, I'm going to stop the press on this one. I've never really seen Toombs County. I think Nick Eason went to Auburn. I think they sent another guy to Georgia Tech, but that's about it. For Toombs County to have a guy that's on Georgia's radar is very impressive. Hayward's a playmaker, guys. If you watch his film, 6'1", 200, he's probably about 11 flat, a little over that in the 100 meters. Playmaker, and he's a guy that really is a T-Rob guy. Like, when Hayward got the offer from Georgia, that was out after T-Rob came on board. T-Rob likes his game, and T-Rob and him are kind of boys. They like to talk a lot, and I think Georgia doesn't have an official visit set yet. He's got a dream school of Florida State. He's got Georgia in the mix, but not with an official visit yet. A lot of other schools are in the mix there for Lagonza. I believe he's got four official visits set. If I had to sit there and think which school sounds like they're in a very, very good shape there with Lagonza, Shady Hayward is what he's called. I've been called Shady all his life, but he got that nickname because he had like Shady McCoy moves as a running back early on in his career. But I'd say any school really has a really strong shot, or maybe a pole position there with Lagonza. Sounds like it might be Tennessee right there. Also got more names just off the list. We've got a guy here on just off the list, on the second page of just off the list, I want to put your attention to. Let's look at Jamarian Morrow. And he's one of those guys you look at, maybe a James Cook type. He's only about 5'10", about 185 pounds, out of Germantown, Tennessee. He's a four-star, but he's already scheduled his official visit to Georgia. Be interesting to see that connection there with Jamarian Morrow. We mentioned Montgomery earlier. Montgomery's actually visiting Georgia this weekend on Saturday, among many others. Joshua Moore is another guy out of South Florida. We all know James Cooley's the king of South Florida. That's a guy that he's also targeted right now as well. Josh Petty, that's a name that I think Josh Petty has got. The main thing for him is he's got to get weight right. We've talked about him a little bit on our show, but still recovering from an injured hip from state wrestling. He's got to really work to get his like 255, 260 pounds up to 285, 290 or so for his senior year. Mason Short out of Evans, Georgia. That's another guy from a pocket of the state, kind of like Lagonza Hayward, that we don't really see a lot of Georgia-level type players coming out of. He's a former Alabama commitment. Clemson, very large there for Mason Short as well. Eric Winters, we mentioned him earlier in our show. Zion Grady's teammate, Eric Winters, is at Enterprise, Alabama. Georgia, Auburn sound like the principals there for Eric Winters. Very aggressive, very hard-hitting, very athletic, kind of Schumann special linebacker there out of Enterprise, Alabama in the 2025 class. And rounding it out, a talented defensive lineman, can play the nose, can play the shade, out of Greene County, Greensboro, Georgia. That is Kevin Wynn. That's what we think right now. That's about 28 names or so that we think could very well compromise the majority of the eventual remaining close. The last, you know, Georgia's probably going to add 23, 24 names to its current five commitments now. So we feel that the bulk of that 23, 24 names will come out of these few lists. That's what we feel like, that we feel like those are the teams on the radar here for the University of Georgia. Let me see. Let me take a quick look around the comment section. Hope everybody's doing great tonight on YouTube. What did everybody think about the commit to the G challenge? You guys got a favorite? Who do you think is going to be the winner in that? Rhett Womack, I agree with you, man. Definitely think Georgia will be top three in a couple of months. Yeah, Red, it was really a tough story to report on, to hear that about Pierce Sperling, man. That's just good kid, good family, just bad set of cards. But that family has the right perspective on all that as well. Yeah, Red also brings up the Lyons, Toombs County area. That's the Vidalia area. And I guess the last person you would have to cross-reference with that area, maybe not Toombs County, but the Vidalia area, would be Nate McBride. Nate's currently, I believe he's still working on a pit crew in Nashville. Good to see Nate still doing what he loves and everything else like that. Stick D's, I do not know of any human beings that are 6'7", 360, and can run a 4.85. That was pretty close to Jordan Davis territory right there, but Jordan Davis wasn't 6'7". Randy Payne, how are you doing? I see you live and kicking here on the Dog Nation YouTube page. Hope everything's going well for you in Tifton. Randy's one of those true characters that make the Dog Nation cruise really fun to be around. Really fun boat. He makes the boat. Excuse me. You get in trouble. You get thrown in Royal Caribbean jail if you do this. What I just did. He makes the ship an even better time there. Can't call Independence of the Seas a ship now. I mean, a boat now. You got to call it a ship. Sometimes it gets better of me. Josh Thompson, Bryce Dixon. I think a good question, Bryce. I see this in the comment section. I do think that the pass rush will be improved, and I think Damon Wilson's going to take a big step forward, and I also think that Michael Williams, getting him to the outside linebacker spot, letting him do what he does, I think that's going to bode well for Georgia creating those havoc plays we like to talk about, right? I think that's going to be great for the Dogs in the future. Paul Ingram has a point. There's a lot of that going around, Paul. Instead of visiting schools, why not send all universities a blind bid card, just cut to the chase? Well, that's one of the things with Georgia. Georgia just tries to – they don't make the decision about NIL, and one of the things that's been made clear to me by recruits and parents is Georgia doesn't want a player that if they immediately start talking NIL with Georgia right off the jump, then that's not going to go well. Bryce Dixon says he's Team Walker. Leon White says he Bryce Dixon says he is Team Walker. Leon Walker says Bo Walker by one. You guys are – I think Bo Walker is going to carry some fans in the room just because of his cool, great last name. Sonia Prescott, I'm sorry about that. She doesn't like watermelon. Sonia, I'm a huge watermelon fan, man. I've always been that way, probably because I grew up in North Georgia and my grandparents would put us on the picnic table. They throw watermelon in front of our face, and sometimes they'd have yellow watermelon. Sometimes they'd have – I remember one time I had purple watermelon, but then they put some salt on it. I've just always been a watermelon fan since then. Alan Verbonsic, sacks 45 or under. I think 45 is probably – I'm going to go over, Alan, because I think Georgia's going to play about 16 football games this year. Bryce Dixon has a question he wants to know. Who's the player to watch for on the D-line? Who's the playmaker? Bryce, I think you're going to see a jump here from Christian Miller. I think Jordan Big Baby Hall is going to make a jump. But the one guy, he's got to stay healthy, and he's already missing spring practice because he's been fighting it. But I think that's Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins. If you can get Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins healthy, start about 14 games this year, he's going to live in the backfield, make some plays, and then you're going to have him on one side perhaps, and then you're going to have Mykael Williams on the other side of the side perhaps, and then you're going to make some hay right there. Richard Michael has a question. Why did Brock skip pro day? Basically, he tweaked his hamstring. Brock is expecting to run at a private event later in early April. Got some guys talking about South Beach. Got some guys talking about already got a line there. I saw one score prediction thrown out. Steven Merck, Jay Swain, how are you guys? Phil Rogers, how are you? I saw somebody threw out a 45-0 prediction for 45-0 for Georgia Clemson. Sonia Prescott, she doesn't like watermelon. She doesn't like watermelon salad, but she does like Juju. She's Team Juju on the nickname rather than Julian. Lively group here on Facebook tonight. Let me see. Sony, yeah, I didn't see Usmani Cromah from Lee County. That's a name. Obviously, everybody's thinking about. Again, it's going to be hard for Georgia, and it's going to be really hard for Crawford to get back in the mix because Dell, like I say a lot, Dell was working on 2026's guys that were probably going to come to Georgia. That's how hard he works ahead, and that's the. He's going to have to play catch up with a lot of the top targets. And with a lot of the other thing that's going to be hard for Georgia with Cromah and a lot of other guys, besides the turnover of a legendary recruiter in Del McGee, is that a lot of players are going to hear from other schools about, hey, how many backs is Georgia losing off this team, this 2024 team? Well, not a lot. Branson's got to come back. I think Kirby Smart said he's in month 7 of a 9-month recovery right now, and he's not going to do anything during the spring except take mental reps. But that's a group where you sit there. Georgia just signed 3 freshmen, 3 All-American freshmen, and that's going to add to the degree of difficulty for Joshua Crawford as well. Let me take one more look on the YouTube page and. One of those things that I had in my head, that we always have a bunch of I kind of have filed away in the recesses of my brain, like questions of the week going forward. And I just wanted to know, currently, I like to kind of take the flavor, the temperature of the room right now. I can give you guys, and please, all my diehards, the ones that you guys are here each and every Wednesday, I want you to weigh in on this because I really want to know what you think. I give you 2 waves of the magic wand. You can park your cynicism, I guess, about NIL and bid cards to the side. And I want you to know, I'll give you 2 waves of the magic wand, and you can put any 2 prospects in the 2025 class on the commitment board for Georgia. You can have them both be Bo Walker commitments, or they can be 1 for Barbour and 1 for Bo Walker. Which 2 Bulldogs do you want to see in the 2025 class more than any other? Awesome. Well, anyway, guys, that's been our show tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation and banter. Sonia, sorry about my watermelon salad. Sometimes I had to go with that. Somebody out there in Dog Nation before the Hedges world likes themselves a watermelon salad too. That's just, I heard about that recipe. Somebody's telling me about it, and I was like, let me jump on that. But anyway, we've got a lot coming up. You guys, you know, you've got Dog Nation off season coming up tomorrow with Kaylee Mansell and Connor Riley. The Dog Nation Daily, the world famous Dog Nation Daily, pops each and every morning at 9:45, and then it goes live for all the masses at 10 on all your Dog Nation social platforms and video channels. This has been Before the Hedges. Of course, you know, Monday nights you get open mic night with Mike Griffith talking about On the Beat and all things Georgia football. He's got a lot of Alabama talk coming. He's got a lot of Nick Saban talk coming. He's got a lot of Georgia baseball coming. He's infatuated by that slugger on the baseball team right now. Lots of stuff going on. Of course, he's also going to talk about spring practice, pro day, all his perceptions, all his reactions to what he's seen so far. But, guys, that has been another Before the Hedges. Our Big Five, we previewed some big visit days coming up. We had a Dog Nation conversation with Darren Akigamon. We previewed Eugene Hilton Jr. visiting Georgia tomorrow. We talked about the Commit to the G Challenge and had a rare soundbite there on Before the Hedges from Kirby Smart on a little wrinkle coming down the train tracks, potentially with the recruiting trail on the recruiting landscape that I think a lot of people needed to hear his opinion and his viewpoint from. Guys, that has been your intel. I'm Jeff Sintel. We will see you guys again later on the pages of DogNation.com. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.